And he walks through the door. I see him on the way.
Born November 27th in Cameroon, West Africa, and raised in St. Paul, Minnesota, our next guest is a former member of the men's Paralympic soccer team, a painter and sculptor who launched a career in stand-up comedy that found him winning season 4 of Last Comic Standing. You've seen him on The Tonight Show, Ellen, America's Got Talent, and his own comedy specials. And tonight and tomorrow night, you can see him live on stage at the Funny Bone Comedy Club. Please welcome comedian and longtime friend of the show, Josh Blue.
You handsome devil. What are you doing?
Oh, you.
You. That's so good to see your face, man.
You too, man. Really, I'm sorry this is what I look like, but.
Dude, I'm sorry for my message the other day. I was like, hey, man. So I'm texting him. I'm like, hey, he was in London last week.
Yeah.
And I go, hey, no chance you're going to be there at the end of the week, right? Because I'm going to see AC/DC. And then I sat there for a minute, and I went, oh, God damn it. Dude, you're going to be in Kansas City. I'm sorry. step on my dick every day. Every day, step on it myself.
It's like you planned that so you wouldn't be here for
me. Yeah, I did. I was like, I don't want to be here.
I'm out of country, sorry.
I didn't want you pinball cheating anymore.
Well, no... No Renaissance Festival either.
I know. You've chosen poorly in terms of time-wise. There's no Renfest going on. It's hot as F out here. I'm glad you got to go to England, man. No, I mean, it's fun to go walk around and check everything out.
Yeah, I did England, Portugal, and France.
Oh, did you get to... I can't remember the name of the... It's where the 100-foot waves are breaking
in
Portugal.
No, I wanted to.
Navarre?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
My brother told me to go, but we didn't get out there. We just did Lisbon, which is amazing.
Dude, I'm so glad you guys. I was watching and looking at this stuff, and I'm like, that's it. That's perfect, man.
But
I love that.
My girlfriend is like, she puts us on these forced marches, though. We're doing like 25,000 steps a day.
Right.
And one day we did 35,000 steps. It was unreal.
I've actually had that click off in my pocket before. And I think the most I've ever done is 25. Like, and that's a hard day. 35 is like
35.
Like, you got up at 6 and you went till 9.
Like, I was like, honey, do you remember I have cerebral palsy? I'm not supposed to be doing this.
And is she still out with the band?
They're on break right now, but yeah, she'll be back out this.
And I was telling him about, what's
Lumineers.
Yeah, the Lumineers, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
And because that's who you guys went on vacation with. That's how you ended up doing, riding that horse into that house in Georgia, the country.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, we were talking about that. Because I was trying to explain to him, like, there's certain ways to travel. Like, there's the fun, eclectic, odd way, which I find. And then other people enjoy more of a... all-inclusive
tour guide.
Yes. I on the other hand, enjoy just seeing how weird it can get as fast as possible.
Riding a horse into a mafia princess's house.
I saw the video and I was like, I hope he lives through this. I really hope this all works itself out. Because I had so many different feelings. What we're talking about, if you're listening, with Josh Blue is I see on your Instagram this video comes up, and... It's in a house on a horse, bareback. And I'm like, there's so many problems with this right now. Like, if that horse freaks out, like, everybody's going to die. The horse is going to break a leg. He's
house
definitely
ruined.
Getting smashed.
And
everybody's
there was
there's
a children's choir singing in the corner.
That's true.
It was the weirdest thing I've ever done, man.
And you just see him holding on. He's going clip-clop around the table. I was like, oh, this is going to go so bad.
And I was the only one she let ride the horse in her house.
And
it was a $200,000, like, horse. It was like riding in a Cadillac.
And then I realized he's not in our country. He's in Georgia, the country. It's Eastern Bloc. Mm-hmm. And she was like an oligarch.
Yeah, she was something. I don't know.
Yeah, whatever.
I've never seen anyone as scary as this woman.
Right.
She's intense, man.
Yeah.
She's like, she would yell at people in restaurants that were talking, like, shut up. We're talking over here. And they would shut up.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. No, there's that Russian-Ukrainian Czech type. There's that. I know exactly what you mean.
She's intense, man.
Yeah.
But she picked you to like you.
Yeah, yeah.
How the hell did that happen?
And you accept it. That's what you
do.
Well, and then we had been riding horses that day, like, to get to her vineyard, like, different, like, mountain donkeys. They were not the nice one that I was.
Right.
And they ran the horses. I decided not to run on the horse. And it, like, reared up and broke her nose.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when they were running.
Yeah.
And then I was off in the distance, and I could see her fist fighting the horse.
Oh, my God.
And then we finally, and then the horse ran away, and we found it, like, 3 miles later, and it had a big gash in its head where she punched it.
I'm Jesus
like,
Christ.
This woman is insane. And but she
That's
looked,
terrible. Now I kind of wish the horse would have won.
No, it did. Her face, it broke her face.
Yeah, well, all right, good, good. And then, by the way, if we forget about that, and then at another level of weirdness, I'm like, is that the guy from the Lumineers? like the singer.
Yeah,
it was like.
Singer,
You know, all of that. That's just what I desire in this life.
Just another week in my life.
That's right, right? That's it, man. Like, you either love that stuff or you don't. And I live for that business, man.
Yeah, yeah.
So it should be, we're getting ready to jump off and go to see AC/DC at Wembley. We're going to see Body Count and Ice-T the first night. And then for like $140, I found a flight to Warsaw, Poland. And then F him up, Chuck, our friend. He works with those guys at Loudwire, so he hooked us up. He got us tickets, so he and I are going to fly and see Metallica play in Poland.
Man, that is going to be awesome, dude.
Because I know, because they're, you know, when did they get the curtain lifted? 89? So this band started and was already huge before communism fell in that country. Wow. These guys are going to be like super nuclear powered. Like, it'll be fun, man. I'm excited about that.
Dangerous. Bro.
Yes.
Careful.
We talked about jumping to Amsterdam just for a quick freak out.
Yeah,
and we'll have to see if there's time to do that. I was like, man, we could take the train, eat a bunch of mushrooms, freak out, get back on the train, come back. We'll be sober by the time we hit London again.
Well, if you need me to bodyguard.
Yes, right. Feel free.
I will come and take care of you.
Come on,
no,
man.
That sounds like a disaster.
This is going to be fun this weekend. You're doing two tonight, two tomorrow night at Zona. And tomorrow night's already, one of the shows is already sold out. So this, guys, if you want to see tickets to see Josh, you got to hurry up.
I was in Colombia last night. I made the mistake of doing that. It was actually a great show. But
I went to pyro school down there about 3 months ago.
Really?
The International Pyrotechnicians Guild. I'm working my way into that little situation.
You graduated.
Wow. Doesn't seem like you would need much studying on that.
You'd be surprised at what the ATF expects you to know. I too was surprised by this.
Really? Wow.
But a couple more certification levels, and I can buy like stuff you and I are going to enjoy. You'll come out to the land, and the flamethrower will pale in comparison.
Well, if you want me to teach you a few things today, man,
right?
You got a big empty parking lot right there.
So are you ready for the fourth?
Yeah.
Will you be doing that? What's it look like at your house? Can you shoot there or no?
There's legal and illegal
right.
in Colorado. It's a very dry state.
That's what I was thinking. Is it dry right now?
Yeah.
So.
But I got a line on some.
See, in those moments, I think what I do is I'm responsible, Nick, is I only do stuff that blows up and makes a big boom as opposed to the stuff that shoots fire into the brush.
Right.
So. It, you know, you pick and choose.
You're responsible.
Well, you're just a pillar of
he really is.
Society.
Right.
Wyandotte County agrees.
Nothing.
Well,
nothing.
My neighborhood, I've never seen anything like this. Is like better than any fireworks display in my whole neighborhood. 360 degrees everywhere. People are blowing stuff up.
That's awesome.
Hey, listen, you know, the 403 Club, where you go shoot pinball.
Yeah.
Next to that is Big Daddy's Fireworks in the other side of the parking lot, and they're all friends.
Oh, perfect.
Listen, I'll tee it up. You guys have perfect. Some fun. You could just, there'll be fireworks tomorrow night at the show, won't there?
I don't want to reveal all my secrets.
I do have some really interesting super nuclear size, those snappers you throw, only they're about an inch long. And you could whip those to the audience. That could be fun.
Yeah, listen.
Yes.
What'd you
yes.
put in the bathrooms that time?
Oh, those are ones.
I
put them underneath the knob toilet on the toilet seats, seat. So when you sit on it, it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it helps.
That
people.
Went well.
You're a great coworker.
Dude, so what's going on with your home life? How are the kids?
They're teenagers. So
no.
Please help me. As a father of a teenager, I'm just happy to say that I'm. On the road.
Yes.
Brutal. Yeah.
How can they be teenagers now?
I don't, my boy's 16. He, last day of school, He didn't even make it to summer break before he got grounded for the whole summer.
What did he do?
He went to a party, right? And he drank, and then he threw up in an Uber.
He's that kid.
How did he get rat? How'd you find out he threw up in an Uber?
Well, it was his mom's night, so that, well, at least it wasn't on me. Right. But yeah. The Uber driver was actually real cool, didn't report it, but he was just like, you pay me cash, I won't put this on your record.
So. Oh, that's cool.
Nice, nice.
Which is nice, but it was still $350.
Yeah. To clean puke up? How much did this kid puke?
Apparently a lot.
So he had to come to you for the $350.
Well,
or from to mom, and then mom told you.
Then took it out of my ass.
Yeah, right? Do you feel like, when you were that age, were you getting into trouble?
Well, here's what I tried to tell him in a, I don't know how to explain it, but I was like, yes, I was doing things like that, but I didn't get caught.
That's it.
That's the key. Like, I don't condone it, but if you're going to do it, don't let me know about it.
For real.
We don't need to know.
And then how do you teach a kid that, to do it behind your back? You're like, look, I expect you to do certain things. But what's disappointing is you're not afraid enough to keep it a secret and to think, I need to keep this under control. Like, you need to have a little bit of fear of me.
Well,
and what will happen, right? Like, that's the problem. Our dads would have smashed our brains in.
Right.
You know,
I'm happy he took an Uber. That's a responsible thing.
That's right.
But what was his plan when he got home?
His end game.
Sneak in.
Right.
Like, you know, but you can't when you're drunk. Like, trust me, I snuck in on acid one time. It was a bad day.
He doesn't think that far ahead, probably. Think about it back in the day. You weren't clever yet.
Yeah, well.
Oh, my God. What do you think? What's the worst thing you did as a kid, you think, that your parents still don't know about?
Oh, my Lord.
I mean, I got some, nothing that really hurt anybody, but I mean, I will tell you one time. My buddy knew a girl whose dad, and I didn't even realize this at the time, was a real estate agent. She had keys to a model home, and we threw a kegger in it.
Oh, yeah, that's bad.
It's really bad. You know, especially
that was
now.
The thing.
Even now, I think, oh, my God, man. That really could have gone, holy hell, man. Like, yeah. And it wasn't like the place got destroyed on purpose, it got party effed up, you know. But it wasn't like people were throwing stuff to the windows or spray painting walls.
Yeah.
It was, they knew to try to keep it to a minimum, but still.
Don't bust drywall.
You got 150 kids dropping their beer cans in plastic cups and stuff.
Right.
But yeah, no, I think back and then go, that could have gone pretty badly.
That would have been bad,
100 grand worth of damage, you know.
I know. So when I grew up in Minnesota, the only other kids on my block was a Vietnamese family.
Yeah.
And there were 16 kids in one house.
Oh, my God.
And they took me in as number 17, and I kind of in the middle of the pack, you know.
Right.
And we got into some stuff for sure.
Yeah.
We would descend on people's gardens like locusts and just eat all the tomatoes. And people come out with this, just 9 kids in a cherry tree just eating everything.
That is so funny.
Yep.
The white neighbors did not like us.
I'm sure, and they're trying to describe what the problem was. They're like, I don't know, man, a bunch of Asian kids and one crazy long-haired kid running right behind.
Little wobbly one. The funniest thing I think I ever saw, though, was there was an older, teenage boy that lived, across the street from them, and he was super racist, didn't understand why the Vietnamese people were there.
Right.
Just always just doing mean things. One day, he had one of those little mirrors, and he was
a hand mirror.
Yeah, he was hitting us in the eyes with the sun, just doing that. And then he did that for a minute, and then all the kids huddled up in their yard, said something in Vietnamese. One of them opened their door, and they all went inside. And I just standing on the lawn, what's going on? 2 minutes later, they're on the roof with an armoire mirror. And they melted his car, man.
Oh my God.
It was so funny.
That's the best.
Yeah, that was when I like realized the like humor of like revenge humor. Like
without a doubt, man.
So that's funny. Awesome. That kid never came outside.
Because those were good days. Like those were the days when your parents were never around. You're all Lasky kids, right?
Yeah.
So you were just literally a whole pack, a horde of roaming animals, like just doing stuff. Man, we would go out all day and steal construction site scraps. I mean, you weren't really stealing. You'd just take them off the scrap pile. But we'd build a fort out in the woods, stash a couple of wee magazines out there, some candles, smoke cigarettes. Somebody would bring some booze, you know.
Right.
It would just be, we were crawling around sewers.
And like, there was no Uber to throw up in.
No, we were so bored. We'd be like, I wonder what's on the other end of this underground pipe. And then there you go. Like,
crawl in there.
Yes. And then that's exactly what you
There's
would
do. There's a badger.
It was never ending, man. Never ending. We should build a ramp. We should start a fire. We should start a bomb. Oh, yeah. I wonder what would happen if we poured gasoline down this hole and threw a match on it.
Yeah, we did that sort
of course.
Of stuff.
Right? Yes. Yeah, dirt clod fight. And then there'd be a rule during the snowball fight. Nobody put rocks in it.
You can't put rocks in there.
That's the rule, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
King of the Mountain on those big snow piles. Just home all razored up.
Oh, dude.
The sharpest ice snow ever.
Oh, and then we'd have construction around us, so there'd be those foundations and piles of dirt clods. Mm. So then immediately a dirt clod fight would break out. And, I mean, you'd come home with stitches, shoot each other with BB guns. Everybody had, you know, something lodged, something cut, something lacerated, and you'd have to lie as to how it happened.
Well, that kid's balls.
Oh, I was this kid, Dennis, he was a great friend to me. Single mom, and I'd go crash at his house on a weekend, and he lived on the other side of town, and it was a bit of a busted area, and again, cool guy, but he had one pair of roller skates, right? So we would roller skate back and forth, and then I'd put him on, and I'd roller skate, and then we got bored with that on the sidewalk, so his mom had some wrought iron patio furniture. And he put him on, and he goes, I'm going to jump over it. Like I said, it was a janky sidewalk. And over it. He doesn't make it. And it literally, I'll always remember, he was wearing brown corduroys. And I looked down, and one of his testes, one of his balls was hanging. There was a rip in it. He came up, and literally, it was blue. And it literally, like, hanging on what I know now is the vas deferens. And literally hanging out, I had to go to his mom and go, Dennis's balls are out. Like, Dennis tore his balls off.
Just made my stomach turn.
It's absolutely true.
My God.
And his mom, and then we had to drag him to the hospital, and it was all to do, and they gave him stitches, and I'm like, I don't know what to say. And then you're just sitting there, and she's just looking at us like, I leave you alone for 2 minutes, and now my kid's balls are hanging out of his leg.
That's no bueno.
No bueno at all.
That's terrible.
I don't think I ever spent the night at his house again. I don't think I was ever invited back. But for the record, not my idea. I wasn't the one doing it.
Jumping over furniture and corduroys. Not the most movable fabrics.
I don't know that we had a lot of clothing choices in our lives at that point, man.
Yeah, that's true.
It was a different time, man. Because you grew up, how old were you when you were born in South Africa?
How old was I?
Yeah,
I
was born. I'm sorry. Sorry, how old were you moved away?
I was a baby, man. I came out 7. I had a really long gestation period in the Blue family.
Let me rephrase. How old were you while you lived? How old did you get to be before moving away?
I was still pretty young, probably like 1.5.
So okay.
I was a little tyke.
And that's when your parents... Both academics, right?
My dad's a professor. My mom was just a housewife.
You know? Okay, so you move, and that's the beginning of the story with you and the boys.
The palsy boys.
Yeah. That's, and I still think about that story, man. That's back when all kids with any level of disability, they just
piled us into the same special ed class.
Yeah, seriously, if you were mentally handicapped or you're blind, if you had dyslexia or you had cerebral palsy, you're just
get in the pile.
Dude.
Yeah.
And
they had us in special ed till the 4th grade, and then they're like, we got to get these kids into general pop.
And by then, you'd already made up your mind. Like you'd become you guys, you and two friends, right?
Yeah.
And those guys, And the story you sat back and told this, and I still think about this all the time, man, how the kids, you call the gen pop, the normies would be on one side of the fence and making fun of all the kids in special ed. And you're there, and again, you're just trying to live, man. Right. Everybody there's a good kid, everybody's right. a nice kid, but then these dicks on the other side of the fence, and they think that they can just get away with this nonstop. Right. And yeah. one day it all stopped. One day you'd had enough.
I mean, well, there's several days we've had enough.
Right.
It just all built up. But I mean, I just remember I beat up some able-bodied kids to defend my buddies too,
yeah.
and they were. When you get beat up by a palsy kid,
right?
It's worse than getting your nuts ripped off by a lawn chair.
But the moment he's telling me, and the guys are telling me, and they're like, and what they don't know is you've already realized there's a gate at the end of the fence.
Right.
The kids who are being the a-holes, who were making fun, who are jeering and throwing stuff at your friends, they don't see you, and all of a sudden the gate goes kerplang.
Yeah,
and
they don't realize I can open the gate.
Right?
I changed some lives that day.
Yeah, I did. That is such a movie in my head.
I know.
Like, I can see it. That is so Bad News Bears. Like, dun 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 dun. Like, it is truly like that's where that entire theme starts as the gate slams open.
Run!
And just kids getting their ass kicked by CP kids, man. I like to think of a blind kid with a golf club just swinging it willy-nilly. Just getting lucky with it. Prank, prank, prank. I'm telling you, I can see this movie.
Your dog keeps coming around the corner and peeking on me like, is this dude okay?
He's a lover. That's what Buddy's like. He's a lover. He'll warm up. I told you, I found him in Curacao.
I know, that's insane.
Isn't that great? He was a little feral dog. I was driving down the road. I just leaving the hospital where George was, my buddy,
mm-hmm.
and it was dark, secondary road, and I thought it was a plastic bag, and I slowed down. I had George's sister with me. She was visiting, and she's like, oh, stop. And I do. I get out. I'm like, oh, it's a little dog. And I look around for other siblings or a mom, and it's just remote, deserted. I mean, I'm looking behind bushes, trees, and it's desert. There's nowhere to go.
Right.
And I pick him up, and I get in the truck, and I realize this is it. Like, this is a dog now. Like, this is real. There's nothing else you can do. We drive back to the house and give this little fella, and he's just, I'll show you pictures, just emaciated ribs and bones sticking out. I thought his head was enlarged because his body was so small, and he probably never had clean water, and maximum 6 weeks old. And so I thought he would die over the night. And so I put him in a little box, and I went to bed, and I just thought, I'll deal with it in the morning. And I get up, and I put my head around that corner, and there comes his little eyes over the cardboard box. I was like, whew. Now I got to figure this out.
I guess I'm a dad now.
Yeah, swear to God. That really is 100%.
Yeah,
I was like, now it has to happen. And managed in 3 days to get him the clearance to come back to the United States with me.
That's how I got my kids. I'm trying to take them back.
Right. I threatened to take him back. I'm like, look, you're just an illegal. I got you here illegally. I'm going to get you back on those DACA rules, man. You'll go back. You'll go back, you little son of a gun.
He's a dreamer.
Yep.
Dude, Josh is here, and he will be here all weekend. Now, tonight and tomorrow night. You got a few minutes, right? You're going to hang with us?
Oh, yeah. Excellent. I ain't going nowhere, Johnny.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
In the studio, Mr. Josh Blue.
Born November 27th in Cameroon, West Africa, and raised in St. Paul, Minnesota, our next guest is a former member of the men's Paralympic soccer team, a painter and sculptor who launched a career in stand-up comedy that found him winning season 4 of Last Comic Standing. You've seen him on The Tonight Show, Ellen, America's Got Talent, and his own comedy specials. And tonight and tomorrow night, you can see him live on stage at the Funny Bone Comedy Club. Please welcome comedian and longtime friend of the show, Josh Blue.
Brother Josh in the studio, covered in poison ivy.
Poor thing.
I was trying so hard not to scratch.
Oh, hell no.
Buddy's like, hey, I don't know. Yes, no, I don't know. Buddy's like, hey.
Trying to figure him out.
That guy moves way different.
He zigs, I zag.
Is the poison ivy doing that to him?
He's like, so we're just getting caught up, man, because we realize it's been since March of last year of 23 since you've been in Kansas City.
Yeah.
And we've been on the phone talking, but I was like, man, it's been that long since I've seen your face.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
You've been busy. It must feel good.
Yes, it does feel very good, man. You've been, listen, you've been out traveling. You've been doing nonstop shows. I mean, it's just been, you're working your ass off, man.
Yeah, dude, this year has been great for comedy, selling out everywhere and just rocking the mic. And
awesome.
I feel like the best stand-up I've ever been. And, you know, you have that list of accolades of things I've done, but until you see me live, you know what I mean?
Like, no, that's where it
you've
all
seen
is.
The show. You know what I do is just like,
yeah, dude, you're just one of those people. Like, it's so fast and well paced and thought out. Like, and that's what people don't see because obviously, look, there's no overlooking the fact that you have cerebral palsy.
There isn't. Oh, damn.
But I think that's the great bait and switch, man. You know, to me, that's the great bait and switch. You're like,
your brain's already so far ahead.
And so then everybody else is in the room. And so it's fun to watch, man. Like, it's just, to me, it's just a great show, man.
It feels like obviously palsy is like a type of brain injury.
Right.
I feel like whatever was messed up there made up for it on some part of my brain. It's like these gaps. I have this just quickness of the, like,
yes.
I know what you're going to say before you're done. You know, I'm already popping your back.
That must be fun for your children.
For me, it can be kind of annoying.
Right, right.
Just calm down, bro.
I know. You're just waiting for it to get to the end of the sentence. Yeah, you're like,
okay, here it is.
Yeah. How is it with your 16-year-old? Do you, because it depends on what kind of father you have. Like my dad was a hard, old school, conservative, Catholic, Southern military.
I think that I've been gentle parenting.
Yeah.
And I think that was a mistake. There should be more beatings at my house.
There are times when I can look at a young guy and I go, ah,
he's dad. Never been slapped before.
Man. We were laughing. My mom fattened my lip right before I walked into school one day in 11th grade. I ran my mouth all the way to school. She was giving me a ride.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just 15-year-old boy, 16-year-old boy, you know, smart ass. And then she said, she was English, John. And I turned and looked at her, whoosh, like fattened them both. And there I go, walking into school, watery eyes.
Nothing's wrong.
Happened to you?
Buddy's trying to murder me over there. Dude, this goddamn dog lays right behind my feet. And I don't realize he's there. And I take one step back and I'm like, yeah, someone's going for the inheritance early.
Yeah, he backs that ass into you, too, but you don't see it when he's directly behind you. He usually backs into me, so I know where not to step.
Yeah, it's his first full week here.
Really?
So he's learning.
Well,
he's
welcome to the day job life, buddy. American dream here.
That's right, man.
We took you in, and now you have to work the rest of your life.
That's it? Listen, I still think you should do a life story about you. I think... The Palsy Brothers and the Palsy Boys, it's a story, like, it just really is good, man. It's all there.
There's a lot.
It really is,
man. Yeah, yeah.
And it's all so real and so true. Like, that, I've been on my mind since the day I sat backstage and they all came in. And
came weeble wobbling in.
Well, by the way, it didn't help. They also got all janked out on your weed.
That was the day before that we did the tour of the dispensary place.
Right.
And then they gave us like a duffel bag of edibles. And, I was like, listen, guys, it's chocolate. You're going to want to eat more. Don't do it.
Right.
And then, like, by my second show on Friday, I had not heard from them. And they were supposed to be there before, like, the shows for
sure.
Dinner. And, like, no, nothing. Like, I thought they got in a car accident. I was, like, panicking. Like, please response.
Yeah.
And then there's, like, 3 hours after that, I was like, not good. That's all they were able to type. Not good.
Oh, I have been there. I have seen it, dude. And then they're telling the story, too, and they're like, yeah, I have no idea how bombed out they got. Like, somebody had to stop someone from calling the hospital.
Like it was... And one guy finally could walk.
Yeah.
Like, the first time in his life. It's like, I can walk now.
Oh, my God.
My brain is flipping around. But
Was it Blue Dream?
It was a lot.
I'm trying to think, because I still have one of your suckers.
Because my suckers are Blue Dream.
Yeah, I've got one at my house.
Yeah, Josh Blue's Dream.
Yeah.
And all over dispensaries here still. But we did the full tour of the factory, and
right.
They gave us, like, the sodas and the... It
God.
Was, I don't mess with that. Like, I like weed, but I'm not eating that.
No, it's too much. So I don't know if I've talked to you since this happened to me. I was out... We're on motorcycles... And we'd been running around, and I stopped by and to see some more people, and there were brownies on the bar.
Mm-mm.
So I'm not even thinking, right? Because there was not. It wasn't
a picnic.
It wasn't a drug situation, but I ate them, and I don't remember at this point. This is I'm kind of getting in front of myself, but I'd gone home and I was tired. I took a nap, and I woke up like 45 minutes later, and I was like, "What's going on here?" And I mean, but I was not kind of high. I was like. It was so high, I thought it was acid. Like, you know, when it starts to womp, and tracers are happening, and I'm like, okay, well, I've taken acid enough. And I'm like, well, why would anybody do this? And then I'm going backwards through my day trying to figure out who would dose me? Like, nobody. Why would you dose somebody? Uh-huh. And I mean, I'm in the shower, and I'm just trying to shower and get my head right, and I'm just trying to figure it all out. And I mean, it just keeps elevating. Like, it just keeps getting higher, and I'm like, so finally, I call my buddy who I was with, and I go, hey, man, I'm pretty high. And he's like, you too? And I'm like, and he goes, did you eat one of the brownies? And I go, oh, that's what it did it to me.
I ate two of the brownies.
Yeah. But I was super late. And he is a hard weed smoker.
Yeah.
And he goes, I'm too high. I'm way too high. I'm way. And I imagine, so a guy who smokes pretty much every day, he's way past his limit.
Yeah.
I don't smoke at all. Mm-hmm. And I like drugs, but weed's not my thing. And I mean, I was that high. I just sit on the couch. I was like, I'm going to. And then I told P. Hill, my buddy who stays at the house. And he comes down, he doesn't do drugs. So I go, hey, man, just so you know, this is what happened. I'm pretty high. And he goes, I'll be right there. So he comes down, but I realize I'm just trying to watch TV, and he's staring at me. And finally, I'm like, all your effort to turn your head, you're like, hey, man, stop staring at me. It's creeping me out.
It's too close. I accidentally ate 200 milligrams. Like, I thought I was just taking a little, like, it was a small edible, like the size of a Tootsie Roll.
Right.
And it was 200 milligrams. And my girlfriend has video of me. I couldn't even drink water. Like, I'd put it in my mouth and just fall out.
You start to doubt whether or not you can OD on weed. You're I forgot how to breathe, I think.
I was like, I'm going to run around the block 16 times now.
Everybody. I have so many friends who've done that because your thought is, I'm going to run it out.
Yeah.
My buddy British Lee did that. And when he got back to his house, he forgot he had called 911 and his girlfriend. So there's the paramedics in the front. And the neighbors were like, he's walking around the block. He'll be back in a second.
Here he comes.
But he said he laid on the floor. He was so high, he forgot he got high. And all he could think of was, oh, I don't want to die. I don't want to die.
Perfect.
Yeah, drugs are real, man.
Yeah.
Drugs are real. Hey, you're saying you've met Jay Moore.
Yeah.
Jay's been a friend of the show, too, for a lot of years, man. It's been a minute since we caught up, but he's got a new show, animated. And I remember this from Corolla. It's Mr. Bertram. What are you doing? How are you, Jay?
My man, you fired me up with that Moby Dick and playing that song. I heard the drums and I just stood up and started dancing. What's up, Josh Blue?
Hey, what's up, Jay?
I don't know if you know this, Johnny Dare, but your hold music is My Humps by Fergie, and that's unacceptable.
How have you been, man?
I'm sitting here on hold like, my humps, my humps, my humps, my lady lumps.
How the hell?
You've been busy.
The lady wanted to brag about her lumps. Isn't that like you go to the doctor avoiding that diagnosis?
Right. So listen, since we spoke last, I think the last time you had just gotten married, man, you're back in it again.
Man, let me tell you something. The third time is the charm. It better be.
This time.
This is my third and final marriage, gentlemen.
Have you tried giving her the old Earnhardt hat, the number 3 hat, just to really cement that?
Wow, that was creepy, the Earnhardt hat.
Dude, it's creepy because I have a...
Sinister overtones. Here, honey, I got you some Dale Earnhardt gear. Let's go for a ride, catch some Little League.
Yeah, right.
So planning a wedding in your 50s, way different than 20s and 30s. 20s and 30s, it's like, bro, it's going to be a party. I got a bouncy house in the backyard. It's filled with midgets. The midgets are filled with coke. It is on.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you get married in your 50s. You're like, how fast can we get everybody out of here?
Yeah, for real. For real. Or do we really?
Like, I got to watch Dateline. I'm not feeding these idiots. They can eat on the way here. Yeah, Johnny, straight up, we got married on the beach, and we timed it with the tide coming up so nobody could hang out.
That's perfect. That is genius.
Swear to God.
That's
Malibu.
Genius.
Right against the seawall at almost high tide. I do. Oh, my God. It's coming. Got to go.
Dude, that's amazing. And, well, by the way, I want to talk about Mr. Bertram because when you watch
about Josh in the ocean. What's your relationship with it, Josh?
I think.
All right. Serious question. I'll tell you one thing. I wouldn't let you sink, brother. I got you.
Oh,
it's going to take more than you, my man. I'm dead weight.
Working out. I don't know what you're talking about, Blue. I've been hitting them weights, kid.
All right. Well, let's test this then,
I
guess.
That cartoon money now. I got to do something.
Well, listen, it's so perfect because it's the shop teacher I had, the shop teacher you had, the shop teacher every guy of a certain age had in America. My guy's name was Mr. Hogan. And that's as real and as true as it gets.
And my guy's name was Mrs. Pignatello.
Yeah. Yeah, right? And they don't take any grief. They cussed, and they weren't above cuffing you if it had to be done.
It's fun. I'm really, the whole cartoon, I'm really imitating R. Lee Army from Full Metal Jacket. And, you know, you go and you do a voiceover, you don't know what the hell you're doing. They're like, no, here's a picture of the guy. And, you know, you could lie and say, I saw the picture. I knew exactly how he talks. Well, yeah, you try that, and they go, no, that's not what we had in mind. When we're in our, like, laboratory out here in Spain where all the animation happens, you're like, okay. So you just let them guide you, the directors and producers, and then you realize, oh, wow, I'm screaming like R. Lee Army from Full Metal Jacket. It's fun. The best was when I was doing The Coach as a Ghost. That was, like, so ridiculously hilarious because they're like, now just pretend he's a ghost. I'm like, oh, totally normal. Thanks.
Right. Were you lucky enough to know Arlie?
You want to hear a funny Arlie Army story?
Yeah.
I can't believe I just said that sentence. We were on the set of Action. He played a director that was working for me on the set of Action. And I was chewing tobacco at the time. I had a big can of Kodiak, and I offered him some. He takes, like, half the can, puts it in his mouth. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. Me and the drill sergeant from Full Metal Jacket are chewing together. Then we're waiting for cameras to get set up. I realize 20 minutes has gone by, and I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I hand him my paper cup to spit in. He waves it off. He goes, no, thank you. I go, you're swallowing that? That's disgusting. He goes, no, son. Spitting is disgusting.
That's Arlie.
Oh, my God.
That is Arlie. You know, so Arlie was from Kansas, and he would come back every year for the Marine Bowl, and of course he was an incredibly important figure in all of our lives, from all the different movies he's done, and just the fact the way he held himself. So he'd come in the studio, and I realized I was trying to please him like he was my father. That's who he was.
You just explained my entire existence. Every day of my life, I just try to please men in my life. Why do you think I got sober so quickly? I got a sponsor and just tried to please my father.
Right? It's true.
I'm going to do my step work. I'm going to be the best sponsor you ever had, Dad. I mean, Dad.
It's funny because there's such a truth to all of it. It never ends, does it?
My mom, and I want to overplease my dad.
Someday maybe I'll feel good enough, but no, I won't really ever feel good enough. And that drives you to be...
By the way, everybody could figure this out about us just by looking at our porn search history.
Damn it. I thought that... VIP,
Mickey Pace, what are you laughing at?
Because it's real.
I don't know
it's if any... stuff. Mickey likes it when it's taboo.
I literally started cataloging what I looked at yesterday. I was like, what was I looking at yesterday? Oh, yeah, it was homemade dirty talk and dildo. I was like, oh, it's. I thought the VPN would save me, but clearly it's not.
By the way, is the name of the show after you.
That's right. When are you going to get to Kansas City, Jay?
Talking dildo coming at you in the morning. Kansas City's best spot.
Right. That's a little closer than I want it to be. You,
what are you, a silent partner? Get on the mic.
You tell me this. When are you going to come back to Kansas City, Jay?
Where do I listen? To play at Springfield, room in Springfield, and then last week my agent calls me and says they have 40 tickets sold for the whole weekend. They want to know if you could cancel. I said, well, summer started. Okay, sure. So there's like, I don't know what's going on out there. It's a young man's game. You got a bunch of mutts from TikTok or people that just do crowd work for an hour selling out arenas. And me and Josh are sweating out bars.
Yeah, man.
What the hell's going on?
It is a tough go nowadays, man. They just want that crowd work.
I just stand with my back against the wall and ask every housewife what her aerobic routine is. Yeah. And how about you? Oh, you brought me a gift? Oh, this is nice. Is that your husband? Oh, that's great. Who cares? Shut up.
Well, listen, I think you'd do great in Kansas City. Listen, maybe Springfield's not for you, sir.
Where did I play? Hook me up.
Yeah, dude, well, listen, I mean, Josh is playing, because they changed all the improvs now in the Midwest. They're Funny Bones. Casey Funny Bones on a roast this weekend. So he's...
Second Funny Bone reference of the morning, believe it or not. So, okay. All right.
Well, Jay, if you want to open for me, man, just let me know, bro.
I don't know if I can afford it, Josh.
I'll pay for your flights.
I got to fly myself out there.
No, I'll pay for your flight. I'll pay for your flight, man. Don't worry.
Oh, Josh has got it like that. Josh has got Latino money.
All right.
Josh got that Mexican merch table money. Order there.
Vamos away.
All right. I love you, brother, man. Congratulations on Mr. Bircher, man. It's great. On Daily Wire Plus, you guys can check it streaming. It is great. And anytime, you're always welcome, man.
Buddy, I love you, boys. Josh, keep fighting that fight, buddy. I love you. And if you're ever in the ocean, I'll come get you.
All right. I'll send up a flare.
Hi, boys.
I don't know. I don't know if I had that Laker money if I'd go out and screw around that much. I think I'd you know what I mean? I think I'd be a stay-at-home husband.
Yeah, you know.
I think that's... Because what's that lady worth, Janie Buss?
I don't know, but it's a lot. I know if I went to my wife's work and LeBron James was there...
Yeah, Jeannie Buss, what's her, let me, who knows if any of this is true, but it's got her somewhere
million.
South of a billion, $700 million.
Yep.
Good God and sweet baby Jesus. She wouldn't see anything by the top of my head till October.
Was it bad that I asked him to open for me?
No, I thought it was well played. Not a bit. It's not for everybody. I think you do have to, you have to love it. That's what makes you great, Josh. I mean, when you come into a room, you're going to sell out all your shows. It's going to be a great time, but people catch that wave, and it's a two-way street, right? It's not just It's not just a guy on a stage doing a monologue. That's not the kind of comedy you do, man. Mm-hmm. It's we're all in this together type thing, and it feels, that's the feeling, right? Like, that's what you're giving people.
Bring it on. Let's do it. We're in this together.
It's the Funny Bone. It's, you guys know it as the Improv up at Zona Rosa. Tomorrow's first show sold out. The second one, I'm sure, is on the way Friday night. If you want to go at the 7 o'clock show tonight, I would hurry up and get online right now. If you don't think you can make it during the day, your best bet is to hit the second show on one of those nights.
Yeah.
And to me, I kind of like the second shows better.
They're a little rowdy.
Yeah, they get a little rowdy. Everybody's a little loose. You've been partaking. You're kind of rolling through your situation.
I get a little rowdy myself.
Yes. So where's the next the big adventure for you?
Man. I mean, I've all adventured out for the year.
Are you really
tired?
Already?
I'm so tired, bro. I've been going so hard for like a month and a half, dude. It's
I know.
I mean, my whole career I've been going hard, but this has been like, I'm ready for a little couch action.
Well, but here's the thing people don't know. You own the side of a mountain.
Yeah.
And it's rough. Now, when I tell you, it's Colorado land, so it's incredible, but it's, man, how much of it is vertical?
There's a 1,300-foot elevation climb on the land.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you understand, that's...
cliff sides.
Yeah. And you have hewn a world out of it. Like, they've cut in, they've built these beautiful patios and fireplaces, and you lost the cabin in a fire, but you bought another cabin that attached to the land?
Yeah, the one that was... I bought the neighbor's land.
That's amazing. That's amazing,
it's
man.
In Pine, Colorado. They're calling me the Pine Baron.
Yeah, for real. Well, I mean, how many acres? If you don't want to talk about it, that's okay.
100 acres now.
That's 100 acres, man.
Yeah, it's big.
In Colorado. You understand, like, that's an impossibility.
It's beautiful. And you should see my wobbly ass on the mountainside.
It's like a wobbly mountain goat.
Yeah, there's something wrong with that one.
Well, because you have to understand, like, the picture of this, and that's why I do got to come out, because it is...
Until you're there, you don't really understand the full scope of how... massive it is.
That's crazy.
Have you as a tour guide?
Him and his friends have built, like, there's this flagstone patio that is these giant local boulders and stuff, and then the humongous, like, cartoon fireplace.
Like Game of Thrones fireplace.
And I mean, he can have bands play on the side of the mountain. It's big enough for literally a musical group to play.
We built the stage into the mountainside.
Oh, my God.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
It's and you guys did it. I mean, this is something you, every day, you'd go out.
Picked away.
And there's something truly... joyous about that. Like, it's hard, it's dangerous, it's frustrating, but man, when you look back and you remember what it looked like and then what it became, like when you did it.
We did it without like any machinery. We did it with like jacks and winches and stuff. It was insane.
Fulcrums, old school, man. Yeah. And that to me is, there's a real, I mean, that's something. You built something.
And I didn't even pinch my fingers too many times.
Hey, the big thing is nobody fell off. Well, you didn't fall off. I don't know if anybody else didn't fall off. I mean, that's a hard fall.
We rolled some boulders, though, for sure.
Yeah, right?
Oh, man, that's my favorite activity up there, rolling boulders. Me and my buddies got one the size of a washing machine to go down the hill. Ooh. And it was like... it was making 20-foot jumps as it went down.
Yes.
And then it hit a pine tree and just...
splintered, sheared it in half?
Yeah.
Oh, it's the best.
Yeah.
You either get it or you don't, what we're talking about. Like, the idea of getting the pry bars and getting that thing to come loose, and you're like, I sure do hope no one's down below. That's, we were on a motorcycle run, A-hole Bob and I, coming in from, we went to Mazatlan. And there'd been a terrible storm, a tropical storm from the Sierra Madres. And when we came back, there's this huge line of cars. We're leaving Mazatlan, coming back to Kansas City. It's 1,000 miles before we hit the border. But we split the lane because the cars are stopped. Now, there's been this giant storm, and a boulder the size of a pickup truck had just gone bunk and was sitting across both lanes of traffic. And I was like, what are they going to do with this? I mean, it was every bit of 7 feet tall and 12 feet wide. And it was just a monster. We can hear it coming from the other side. Somebody's bringing a bulldozer. You can hear the jangle on there. And they don't give any thought, any reasoning, they don't give a goddamn. They just push it off the side. And I see it, same thing. It just disappears down the hill. And I'm like, you know, there's more roads down there. There's more. There's definitely people somewhere down there. Yeah. And I have no idea how many more people got their houses smashed by that boulder that day. But somebody had a bulldozer, and I don't believe it was the cops that did it. It was just a regular person just said, well, I'll move this. Don't worry.
You got to keep the traffic moving.
Dude, that was. Ever tell you that story? Uh-uh. We got caught 7 hours in a storm, a tropical storm, 2 days before. 70 miles to get to Mazatlan from the last town. And we thought, man, it's only 7 o'clock at night. We're 1,000 miles deep into Mexico, headed to Mazatlan. The Sierra Madre Mountains are in front of us, but it's only a 70 mile run via GPS. And I'm like, dude, let's just go. That gives us an extra, we don't have to do it in the morning. We get like a full day then. And he goes, okay. So we start to go and we climb up and it turns into a tropical storm. And I can't get out of first gear. So I'm up front, and it's so warm, you can't put your... I put my full face on because it was raining hard, but it was so warm, you had to leave the visor up because it would just fog instantly. And then you'd see the fog coming, and you'd be straining your eyes, and there's boulders, and there's mud, and there's mud landslides, and then there'd be a donkey or a horse, or all of a sudden there'd be like something, you go, oh, and you'd stop, and out of the fog, there'd be a tied-up cow on the side of the road, and he's standing in the middle of the road, and he's tied to a goddamn tree. And one side is a cliff, and the other side's a cliff. But one is, you know, there's no shoulders on these things. Right. And it goes, I mean, this goes hour after hour after hour. And I can't even remember the number on my speedometer, on the odometer, where we started. So now I can't even tell where we are.
Right.
And every time you think that it's going to be over, you start to climb up again. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, God damn it. And this goes, I mean, logging trucks are coming around and knocking our mirrors off. There's nowhere to go. I mean, I'm sure I'm going to die. It's just never ending. Seven more hours. We finally get to this place where we're almost out of it, I think. And I see a flashlight and I stop. We both turn our motorcycles off and you can hear water rushing. It's pitch black. And I hear a kid yelling, alto, alto. And I'm like, what the goddamn? And I see a little flashlight. And finally, he kind of goes down. And I take a minute for my eyes to adjust. And there's a river that shouldn't be coming down the side of a mountain. It's going over the road and then just continuing down. And he's telling us, obviously, to stop.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't go back, man. I can't go 7 hours back.
Right.
And there's nowhere to stop. I go, just let me see what happens, Bob. And I just go, forget it. And I just aim for the kid and I mean, it's the water so hard, I can feel it hitting the jugs on the bike and it's scooching the bike to the left. Oh. But I get through and I'm like, come on, you can do it. So Bob does it. He ends up hitting a giant pothole so big, it threw all his luggage off, almost went down the river off this thing. And from then on, his bike started making this terrible noise. I thought it just got the spark plug wet. I thought it got something wet It turns out by the time once we stopped and we looked at it, it had broken the exhaust pipe off of the head. And then in Mazatlan, we got to find a guy who could figure out how to weld
it back.
Yeah, no, it was an entire time. Spent the whole day with a taxi cab driver who kept saying, you guys, you want to meet my sister? And he kept making a tight little O-ring with his finger and then doing this. I'm like, look, man, we got to find a L welder. I don't want to meet your sister, man. No matter how it is, I gotta pass on this.
Weld?
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, it's 100% true. And I feel like for sure that was the time we bit off more than we could chew. Someone was gonna die on that little adventure.
I kind of want to meet his sister, though.
Yeah, right. Had it been a different day, maybe we would have met his sister. It was, but I mean, those are the best ones, man.
You survived.
Yeah.
No cows, no
right?
Nothing.
And it's not exactly getting super high and riding a horse into a Russian oligarch's house, but
there's still time, Johnny.